In a world completely overrun by inane media, there are podcasts that rise above the rest.
Ezzy!
This is not one of those.
Ezzy, knock it out!
Two middle-aged white guys from middle America talk about random shit for about an hour or so.
Never this know which cat I'm yelling at.
Is the magical talking hat.
That'll be a slightly different intro than usual. Hello! Welcome to Magical Talking Hat. I am Tony.
And I'm William.
Who are you?
Oh my god, that's hilarious.
It's usually Ezzy that scratches on that couch. Or chair, wherever. That place where your butt is. Anyway, I'm Tony. He's William.
William.
And laughing. And this is episode 20.
Yes.
2-0. That's huge.
Seems like a
I'm
milestone.
Just going to say that like every week now. Oh my god. This episode's huge.
Well, because we can't believe
20 weeks
that we've done it for this long.
Of a podcast based on the premise that William and I found a magical hat of talking. The hat does not talk. It's a magical hat that has its own email, checks its own email, sends said questions to us and from you. And we talk about them until we get bored.
Sometimes in digested form.
Yes.
Because some of them are long.
Some of them are really freaking long, and the hat gets writer's cramp writing them down on the cards. So 20 weeks of this, people, I want you to think long and hard about that and feel ashamed. Because really, nothing should last this long. You should have shut us down by now. Terrible, but for those of you who have held on, and I know you're out there, and I know who some of you are, but I keep seeing ones falling by the wayside. Oh, I love your podcast. Oh, by the way, I haven't listened since episode 4, you know. But there are you, the diehards, the hard hats. You are the hard hats who've stuck with us, and we appreciate that, and it's awesome. And in fact, I was trying to come up with awesome listener prizes recently, but then William shut me down by explaining to me that the prize idea I had doesn't exist. So that pissed me off. I said, we should give away this. And he's like, we don't have that. And I was like, oh, crap. Okay. So we're not giving that away, but I'm going to come up with something. The best I could come up with was we'll mail somebody a summer sausage. And not only does that seem fairly insignificant, it seems like the beginnings of a grounds for a lawsuit, even if you entered the contest knowingly. It just doesn't seem right, so we won't do that. That was a fun experience, though, because of the blog, because somebody who didn't know what summer sausage was, I think Serbian Steven, caused me to look it up. And the definition for summer sausage is sausage does not require refrigeration.
Yes, which explains that kind of sour taste that you don't like.
Exactly. And I had not known that before, but now it's all so clear to me. I feel it. I feel the cosmos.
That also explains why a lot of summer sausage has this kind of a... You always have to...
The rind, it's not a skin.
It's like wax or something. I don't know. But you have to take it off.
You don't want to eat that part.
No.
Don't do it. So, episode 20. We weren't here last week. I mean, we were here for you, but we weren't here.
No.
It's been 2 weeks.
Skipped a week.
2 weeks. I realized later I should have just taken the mic to Virginia because I had two listeners, like, staying in the house with me, and we totally could have done
episode that way. That would have been interesting.
But that's okay, because they both stopped listening around episode 3 or 4. So.
Oh, okay. So they're not up to date.
No, they don't have any
of that continuity.
They're not hard hats. I like that. I'm sticking with that one. You're all my little hatlings. I think the official term I've decided is the magical talking hat enthusiasts.
Oh.
No abbreviation or anything, just... Every time, we have to refer to them that way.
Okay.
No, I'm lying. I kind of like hatlings. Haberdashers is fun. Hattasaurus, you know, something like that. But I like hard hats for those of you, you know, keep it up.
Keep it
That should be a new t-shirt. Yes.
Why not introduce class struggle? You got hard hats. Exactly. You got the other types of hats. They might as well fight amongst
themselves.
They might as well. They might as well fight amongst themselves.
Oh, we got to think of this. We can come up with all sorts of different hats.
Sure.
Brimless hats. I don't even know what that means, but I'm sure it's insulting. Hats that talk, because ours doesn't.
Right.
And anyway, how was your 2 weeks, William?
Pretty good. You know, I played Dark Tower for the first time ever.
Did you get on the thing?
Yeah. I played it. We have...
Oh, you have it?
We have the board game and the little tower. We have Dark Tower.
Really?
Yes, we do.
Oh. No, this is the thing that came up on Facebook. We were talking about Dark Tower. For those of you too young or too not cool enough, in the... I'm going to say...
80s. It's the
early 80s,
the game
though.
Says 1981 on it.
Yeah, early 80s. Parker Brothers came out with this game, this board game, quote unquote, called Dark Tower. And it was awesome. Because it was a board game with a board, but in the middle was this giant tower, and it did things, and it, like, you'd hit buttons and it would tell you stuff. And it was like computerized and things. And it would, the whole game was freaking D&D. It really was. And it was awesome, and I never got to play it. But I saw it played a lot because I was too little.
Oh, I see.
And my aunt and uncle and cousins had it, and so they would all sit around and play it, and I would watch. But I was a little kid, so I didn't get to play. That game was awesome. And so, yeah, William finally got to play that. And then William's family discovered that it's online.
Yeah, there's a Flash.
There's a Flash version, but it has the original pictures. It has the original sound effects.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
It's and I played it the other night, and I beat it. So, absolutely got to link that in the show notes.
Yeah, that's very cool.
Yeah, because that was pretty neat. And in general, it's on a site called Hot Flash Games, which sounds really unwholesome, but it appears to have a lot of cool Flash games. So,
but I played it for the first time, and I won.
You did? Was multiplayer?
Yeah, okay. Four of us were playing, and it was quite enjoyable. I remember seeing the commercials when I was young.
Oh yeah, but the tower tell you.
We never got it. We got Stop Thief when I was a kid.
I don't know that one.
Okay,
maybe that's the Midwest version.
No, it's kind of a similar deal where you only similar that there's an electronic component, but there's a game board, and there's a handheld electronic device that knows. Where, the game board has shops and a street and lots of other things in it. It's kind of like, a little bit like a Clue, except it's kind of a town. And the electronic device knows where a thief is, and the thief moves around on the board. But you as the player don't know. And you are a police officer or detective or something. And you have to go around trying to catch the thief.
Oh.
And the electronic device will make noises to give you clues as to where the thief is, like breaking glass. Although it's kind of like Dark Tower, and the sounds are just little beeps and stuff.
Yes, yes.
But you get the idea of what breaking glass is supposed to sound like, and footprints and whatever, or footsteps. And
What do footprints sound like?
Nothing. And so you put in information in this little device, and it tells you how close you are, what you need to do next. So in that way, it's very similar. And those are the only two games I can remember from that time that were like that, that had this electronic device that you used to play. But Stop Thief is one that we got. Dark Tower we did not get. And so I never...
That sounds kind of lame. Like, you didn't get Dark Tower, but you got Stop Thief.
Well, Stop Thief
That's
is pretty,
like when
cool.
You beg... You see all your friends playing with, like, the space Legos and stuff, and you beg your parents, and they get you, like, the Lego town set. Which I say that because it happened to me. But,
if you look it up, I mean, I'm not very good at describing, and if you look it up, and maybe there's even one of those little Flash games for it, you might think it's actually pretty cool, but we didn't even play Stop Thief that often because, I don't know why we didn't. We took it on a trip, I remember, and I think it was just a really complicated game. You know,
well,
it wasn't like Monopoly or something. It was kind
here's of the thing. I say it's awesome. Dark Tower was awesome, and it was, and the fact that it's online is awesome, and I played it, and I beat it. I may play it at some point, one or two more times. That's pretty much it. It's cool, but once you played it, there's not a whole heck of a lot of cause to go back to it.
No, and I played the Flash game too, and I have to say, aside from the fact that in regular play you're taking turns and someone else,
yeah, being one player makes it less cool.
Other than that, the play was pretty similar to, I mean, you know, pretty much the same experience, except you're not pushing the buttons, obviously. But and it's kind of fun to play with other players, and you know, there's one thing that doesn't happen in single player, at least I didn't see it happen.
The wizard.
Yeah, the wizard, which if you get the wizard, you curse another player, which means you get half of their, I don't know, some of their gold and some of their men, so.
Well, and a bunch of things.
That makes it kind of interesting.
A bunch of things are different if you're playing with other people and you take turns. Because in the single player game, like if you lose a turn, it has no real impact, because then it's just you again.
Yeah, yeah.
But with multiple player, then, you know, that's different, so. How was my 2 weeks, did you ask?
I didn't. Maybe I wasn't done talking about my 2 weeks.
That's a lot for you already. I
figured, you're right. How was
did anything else happen?
No, how was your 2 weeks?
That's what I thought. You didn't consume any other interesting media?
I probably did, but I don't remember. So
you're like, was it interesting? No.
Well, I mean, there are films out that I want to see that I haven't seen, but no.
There aren't too many of those right now for me, sadly.
Well, I mean, Warehouse 13 started up again.
We've yes. Keeping no, we haven't watched. We've got it all on DVR.
Okay.
But we didn't have a chance to watch it, and that's when I've been back for a week, but I can't watch the stuff that Trish and I are both going to watch.
Okay.
So I've been keeping up on John Benjamin Has a Van and Ugly Americans and James May Drinks to Britain.
You didn't ask me if I watched the thing you gave me on the little drive.
Oh my God, I was going to. Did you watch the thing?
No.
You suck! Watch the damn thing!
I intended to. I had 2 weeks and I thought, wow,
there's
I'll be
seven
able to watch
episodes.
It.
Most of them are like a half hour long.
Yeah, I know. And you know what? There were plenty of opportunities too, and I just forgot. So.
Dude.
I know. I know.
I'll
do it.
I even watched, since then, I've watched like 3 episodes of that show.
Okay. I'm sorry. I know you worked so hard to get it on that little flash
tab. Dude, I also want that back, so get them
taken
care of.
Oh, that's true. You probably want it back, yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm not giving you
it. No, I didn't break it.
I don't especially like you. Why would I give you a flash drive?
I know. I know.
Okay. I am about to start my new game.
Oh, yeah.
My Traveler game. By this time, by the next episode, I will be even closer. But I still won't have. We will. A week from Tuesday is going to be our first get-together, talk about it, players meet each other. When I do it, it's always a process.
So a lot of the players don't know each other?
No, actually, one of the players doesn't know the others.
Okay.
So we're going to work out that. But I want to. Two of the players have never been in a game I've run. So I want to discuss that some and do some basic stuff. And Traveler Character Gen is very involved and long, and you sort of need to do it as a group, so. Bless me. So I'm going to be doing that. Yeah, so we're taking these bits at a time, but I'm getting kind of excited about that. I'm 2/3 of the way through book 8 of the Dresden Files. I'm liking that.
Are they holding up then?
Oh, yeah.
Because we haven't. I think we haven't gotten past, I don't know, 5, I think. And, you know, I'm interested to know, you know, if we should just keep going, because
I will say this. I believe the work is extremely consistent.
Okay, good.
So your feelings about the earlier books will match. I mean, individual, you know, picayunes aside, certain characters you like better and stuff like that. And, I mean, there are definitely issues I have with the books. But it's all fairly consistent.
Okay.
I don't particularly like or hate anything more or less in book 3 than in book 8.
Gotcha.
I am discovering a bit of Star Wars Harry Potter syndrome for me, in that I'm really enjoying the world, but as time goes on, I'm liking Harry Dresden himself less.
Oh.
And I'm also still bothered by this ridiculously heavy-handed, if completely self-aware, chauvinism.
Oh, really?
I'm just getting so tired of it.
Huh.
Like, because he gets a free pass because he knows about it and it's his problem and all this. But he's still sexist all over the place. And I honestly don't think it's the character having self-aware chauvinism. I think it's the author coming up with a convenient character excuse for his chauvinism. And it tires me out eventually.
Huh.
But, no, but I'm still very much enjoying the books. I plan to, even once I get through book 10, I can do the RPG, because without spoilers, I totally plan to keep reading. And 13 just came out.
Oh, okay.
13, not counting, there's a book of short stories, too, but there are 13 actual novels. And the 13th just came out a while ago, and so hopefully it's on audiobook soon, because that's how I consume my Dresden, because it's awesome that way. Yeah, Virginia was nice.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that, too.
It was pretty good. Swam a fair bit, ate some seafood, hung out with family, played some games. It was a good time. It was very hot. It was not nearly as hot as it was here in Iowa City, from what I have been led to believe.
Pretty hot.
126 degree heat index.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we had a heat index once or twice that broke 100. I mean, it was hot where we were, but it wasn't like you guys were going through. That was some crazy, crazy
Well,
stuff.
Iowans have to be hardy folk.
Yes, yes, they do.
Because it gets as hot here as it can get some places in the south, and as cold here as it can get some places in the north. So we have to be able to...
Really, it's not a place you should live, but...
Well...
We like it.
If you like things to stay hot, go south. If you like things to stay cold, go north. But if you like some variety and you don't mind having extremes of temperature in the course of a single year, well, this is the place to be.
Yes, there's a lot of... There are four very distinct seasons in the Midwest.
Although spring and fall, as far as weather goes, you know, with mild temperatures and everything, are fairly short.
Comparatively.
Yeah.
I don't know that I'd call them really short, but comparatively. It's definitely not an equal balance.
No. No, it seems like winter and summer are both, is in terms of how you experience the weather, temperatures and things like that, seem longer than the fall
which is too bad, because the fall and the spring are the awesome parts.
Oh, they're very nice. Yeah, the best times.
Yes. Okay. So, hat?
Sure.
Okay.
I'm always ready for a little hat.
Magical one or the normal one?
Magical, always magical.
Okay. Hold on, I just unplugged some things. I gotta...
Don't let it be the computer.
It was the computer.
Oh, well, but the battery power kicked in, huh?
Yes. My computer's awesome. It has a battery.
Well, I don't want us to lose everything we've done so far. Like we
our
did that
18
one time.
Minutes of gold. That's been getting, I wouldn't say light. We still got a fair number of questions, but always feel free to add more. If you want to email the hat, and you do want to email the hat with a topic or a question, email at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Sign it if you want me to credit you, or William to credit you. Otherwise, it's anonymous. And we like them a little bit terse, like you were doing Twitter, 144 characters, that kind of deal. So work on that.
Work on that.
You're a true hard hat by writing into the hat.
We know that you want to.
We do know this.
You just have to commit.
Mm-hmm. All the cool kids are doing it. Okay, what'd you get?
What Jen wants to know is...
Jen! I don't think Jen listens anymore, but we like Jen.
Yes, we do. Could vampires really choose to ingest only animal blood and survive?
Yes, they could, but it tends to make them sparkle in the daytime.
Well, of course, it depends on which vampires you're talking about.
Absolutely. It depends on your paradigm. But strictly speaking, if we get crap from blood, I don't know there's anything particular in human blood that there's not in animal blood.
Right. Except for... I think if you don't have to go back very far before the blood-drinking tendency of the vampire is really not about, nutrition.
it's the essence.
Yes.
In which case, the animal probably doesn't have the human essence.
Right. And so, And so I suppose, because, you know, of course, vampires, well, I like to draw a distinction between vampires and entities that drink blood, because vampires are kind of a special kind of blood-drinking entity, which in the earliest times are kind of a revenant type of creature, and it's pretty important that the blood they're drinking is human.
Okay, so give me some blood-drinking entities that aren't vampires.
Well, there are gods, for example, like Kali, for example, in the Hindu religion, is known to drink blood, sure.
Well, I mean, for fun, but it's not...
but see, I wouldn't... It seems to me a vampire is a very different kind of thing. Demons of lots of different parts of the world are known to drink blood.
That's true, and actually in the Detective Inspector Chen series, in Hell, blood is basically a delicacy. It's kind of like chocolate, basically. And they make candies out of it and stuff like that, and blood. Everybody drinks or ingests blood, human blood, because it's awesome to them.
But a vampire strikes me as being a special kind of character. Yes, drinks blood, but also, I mean, even in the earliest lore, specifically about vampires, you know, they used to be human. Many of them used to be werewolves, and they were killed, and they came back as vampires.
Wait, what?
Yeah, that's a pretty common theme.
Werewolves who were killed,
right? And some people,
and came back as vampires.
Some people believe that that's what a vampire was an undead werewolf, basically.
I have never heard of that before.
I'll have to find the reference for you on that one.
Weird. And, so how'd they get to be a werewolf?
Well, various ways. That's the thing. See, in the medieval times, when these things were kind of starting
like
the
restaurant chain?
No, I knew you were going to say that. When these things were kind of getting a little more specific, and people were telling tales that would eventually be written down, there are lots of regional differences, you know. Vampires,
like in the East Coast, vampires would have sauerkraut, and no, Midwest, the vampires would have a pickle spear on a sesame bun.
I just mean that,
prophecy bun, I mean,
that not everyone thought of vampires as undead werewolves, and for some people, a werewolf was, there was no explanation for what made a person a werewolf, just like there was no particular explanation for what made a person, say, a witch. Although some people had very specific explanations for what made a person a witch. So, it's really not until the 19th century that you have people writing novels about these things, and they start to pick and choose which things they want their vampires and werewolves to be like.
Never heard of the whole undead werewolf as a vampire thing before. Yeah. That's very interesting.
But, So even since the earliest times when people were talking about vampires, it was really kind of up to the person telling the tale what a vampire could do and not do. Mm. So there's no... It's kind of like comic book characters. There's no right answer to what this comic book character is like. It depends on who's drawing it, who's writing the script. And, I would say that if someone says their vampire can ingest blood, animal blood and survive, that's fine. But I do think that one thing that was pretty consistent with vampires early on, at least before they were novelized, was that, you know, it had to be human blood, or because that was the whole point. They didn't ingest human blood for nutrition. They did it because that was what they did. And if they were ingesting anything else, for example, you didn't have vampires that were actually good and trying to go.
Yeah,
trying to be good people,
yeah,
or whatever. Vampires were what they were, which was these revenant, you know, risen from the dead, taking revenge on people, drinking human blood. You didn't have any vampire trying to not be that, or mainstream or anything else. That's kind of that's a very recent development in the tales of vampires. Even I don't think anyone in the 19th century wrote any stories like that.
There was a movie that in reality was a failed TV pilot called Blood Ties. Now, this is not to be confused. There was a TV series, I believe, by the exact same name on like Lifetime or whatever, but this is earlier than that. It's called Blood Ties, and it was a movie, and it was very clear. I believe it was a pilot for USA that bombed, that was vampire. And their vampires were essentially a slightly different species. And I do mean slightly. They explain it in the beginning. The explanation goes back to the biblical thing where Eve's not their mom. Lilith is their mom instead and whatever. But otherwise, they're humans. But they live about 20 to 30% longer. They tend to be 10 to 20% stronger. And they all just basically have a fetish for blood, essentially. Like, there's absolutely no need for it. They just like it.
I see.
And that was the whole thing. It was so fucking lame. Which is why I didn't get picked up. Because I'm like, I've met those people. They don't deserve a TV show. Like, I've met those kind of vampires. They're on a documentary every once in a while, but they're not, you know. And yeah. And those vampires cannot subsist on animal blood, because they can't subsist on human blood. They need some cheeseburgers. So.
Well, the vampires in my books have to have human blood. But the vampires in my books also have a sensitivity to light that is oftentimes fatal, which is not really a feature of the medieval vampire.
No. No, that got weird. I've sort of discovered it, because Bram Stoker, yeah. The sun was tied in with sunrise and sunset were him being at his weakest.
Mm-hmm.
But only those times. So during the day, he was just as strong as he was at night. He was more into night, but yeah, and that sort of came about later.
Yeah.
With Nosferatu and all that.
Yeah,
the
yeah,
sun
yeah,
was
yeah.
no good.
Right, right. But I like that.
And I'm guessing mixed up with troll myth.
Could be. Because yes.
Because trolls turn to stone.
That's right. There have been a lot of other creatures who can't survive in the sunlight, yeah. usually turning into stone, as you pointed out. But I that's something, even though I realized it was a something they added later, I liked it, and so I kept it for my vampires. But my vampires actually can't subsist on anything else but human blood. I mean, they can eat a steak, but it's not going to do anything for
yeah,
them.
Yeah, yeah. In Shadowrun, in the game I just was doing, they have all sorts of undead, but it's basically a disease-based thing. And the type of undead creature you are has to do partially with which particular strain of the disease it is, and partially with which race you were before that. Because, you know, Shadowrun has dwarves and elves and trolls and stuff like that. But so, like, a certain strain makes you a vampire, and in that you feed off of human essence, and it's much more a psychic vampire kind of thing.
I see.
And then there's a certain strain that makes you a ghoul, which means you have to, you can only get sustenance from necrotic flesh. And then, yeah, based on like certain variants in a different species, like a troll who gets, I forget which strain, becomes a wendigo, and other ones, you know, a wraith and stuff like that. And I thought that was an interesting take on it.
Yeah,
I didn't use it too much in my game, but
that is interesting.
Yeah, it's a good question, Jen. Not that you'll ever hear this. But there we go. Okay, next.
The hat makes that nice fluttering noise before it spits out a question or comment.
As though there were a bat trapped in it.
Hmm.
Trust me, I know what bats trapped in things sound like.
I wonder if there is a bat trapped in it.
Oh, Azure Talon! So help me if this is another Monty Python reference. Dear MTH, what's your favorite color? Blue Claw.
Well, the hat doesn't have a favorite color.
Hat doesn't talk.
Nope.
Doesn't have one. What's your favorite color, William?
Well, that's a good question. I don't really know.
Is it the color from out of space?
No. I don't even know what that means.
It's a Lovecraftian reference. I think I'm saying, I think it's the color out of space. I don't remember.
I like, well, it depends. I don't have a color that I like for everything. Like, I like purple a lot for different things. I like white.
Which I know. White, really?
Yes, I do. I like white. And black. And yellow. and blue.
Yellow. I'm not into yellow.
Yeah, boys, and orange in some situations.
I'm not into yellow, and I'm not into orange.
But I'm not particularly partial to red or green. And I think that pretty much covers it.
See, blue, green, and purple are pretty big ones for me. I like black. White, I couldn't care less. Yellow and orange, I'm not interested in. Earth tones in general, I do okay. Black is good. I like red. I mean, yeah, it has to be contextual. Usually, gray, blue, green, purple, these are the things when I'm picking a color for something, these are the colors I pick.
Yeah, I'm
or maybe black also.
I'm definitely an earth tone person too, and I like brown for things too. My favorite crayon when I was a kid was burnt sienna.
That is a good color.
Which they retired, I think.
Did they?
Yeah, you can't find it in Crayola boxes anymore. But I loved that color.
That is a very good color.
And I like autumn because pretty much all the colors of autumn are great, or my favorite colors. The oranges and the deep scarlet reds and the purples, and I love all those colors.
Did you ever see 500 Days of Summer?
No.
The end of that movie is really annoying.
Why is that?
I can't tell you. It's kind of a spoiler.
Okay. But
people who have seen it will know why I bring this up. Yeah, lame question, Azure Talon, but thank you. Let's move along, people.
Figures a person from art school would ask that.
Exactly. And we know what his favorite color is.
I guess we do.
Talon.
Yeah.
His favorite color is Talon.
That crazy color. It's okay, Talon.
I don't like Talon. I think it clashes with everything. Literally, it rips into them.
Michelle,
my bad. I don't know the words or French. I need you. I've forgotten the rest. Go ahead. What did Michelle have to say?
That was an excellent rendition of Michelle.
Thank you. I thought so.
Where would you go when the zombie menace rears its spongy head, and why?
That might have been a digested question.
No, it doesn't say it was.
Well, but that's a new feature the hat's doing. That might have been an older question.
Oh, I see.
I have come to terms long, long ago, but Zombieland really brought it home for me, that when the apocalypse happens, when the revolution comes, when the uprising begins...
With zombies.
Of anything. This is what I'm saying. In the broader sense, when the end is nigh, when change is near, when evil lurks in the hearts of men or whatever, I am totally on the first lines of the dead. I will never survive anything. And Zombieland really brought it home, because what's number one? Rule number one?
I don't know.
You need to see Zombieland.
Well,
Zombieland
I saw
awesome.
It, and I...
Rule number one.
It was okay.
Cardio. I am toast. Also relatively pacifist. Also don't ever intend to touch a gun. All of these things are very bad for zombies. But, if I have to decide... Driving to the coast, stocking up a boat, getting the hell out. Onto the water. Maybe I'll go down to Mississippi.
Okay, well...
Because I'm close to that.
See, that's a good idea.
I mean, eventually you're going to run out of shit, but eventually you're going to die anyway. Like,
but have you ever noticed that all of these apocalyptic things, whether they're zombies or anything else, are sort of... They sort of have an urban bias.
Well...
They don't take into account... that there are vast portions of the United States that, you know, where people could see this coming from fairly far off and do something about it fairly effectively.
Well, and I think some modern post-apocalyptic shows have, like, the really shitty BBC show Survivors and the new really shitty TNT show Falling Skies. Both sort of, they don't take place there, but they deal with the fact that you go out into the countryside and it's less ravaged, and there's still people and things like that.
Yeah, the thing is, you know, when you think of these things happening in a city, it can be pretty awful. And then that's sort of generalized, and someone leaves the city, and somehow instantaneously, you know, rural communities 100 miles away have also been ravaged like the city was. The fact of the matter is, you know, unless...
I'm not going to do it again because I don't... I know I get it wrong, but whatever cat is back there, beat it with something. I don't want it scratching on the furniture. Oh, it's up on... Oh, Twiglet! Oh, never mind. Okay, sorry. Back to your story.
Well, unless the zombie outbreak is in rural America, which that would make it spread fairly slowly.
I was going to say, I think that's already happened like 5 times and then just got stopped. Because the pickup ran out of gas.
Exactly. Then, you know, I was thinking about things less, you know, monstrous. You know, just maybe the cities have a big revolt or something because people are hungry or whatever. And I was just thinking about how rural America would cope with things like the grid going down or something like that. And it occurred to me that a lot of them would probably just be all right. You know, they'd get along okay. And this is the most of the country.
Yeah.
And
the aliens, when they show up, are always targeting the major cities. And you wipe those out. And that's a significant percentage of people.
And actually...
It's not the majority of the people.
Even if you look at a nuclear holocaust, they're all...
Don't look directly at a nuclear holocaust. You'll burn out your retinas.
They fall on cities. And really the only danger to the Great Plains area is fallout carried by, you know, wind. And if that happens, if something about the war changes the air currents, then the whole Midwest and upper Midwest might be fine.
Except wherever the hell Springfield is. Because as we know, during the Cold War, it was designated the U.S.'s nuclear whipping boy. And all nuclear sites would calibrate their missiles by firing on Springfield. Yeah. But everybody else, yes.
So given all of that insight...
That's why I moved here.
Given all of that insight into apocalypses.
apocalypses. I can't tell if that's an awesome name for a book or an awesome name for a band. But
I would say that...
It sounds like some devastating literary condition.
I'd probably sit back and try to... You know, I'd take all the time that I'm afforded by living in Iowa to assess the situation, and I'd probably end up moving north. There's a great...
You heard it, people. Book. Here in Iowa, they give us extra time. So think about that.
Well, it's true because it's like... South Park says that everything is what?
No, that's for Des Moines. Oh. Everything is exactly 2 years behind.
So we have
Des Moines,
all that
Iowa.
Extra time to
that
assess the situation.
That was a pretty awesome episode.
And so I'd probably end up going north. Or your idea is really, really good, so... Maybe I just do that.
Theoretically, but it's hard to say. It depends on the depth of the water and all. And here's the thing I've never really gotten with zombies, is the food supply issue. So, zombies eat, let's not even do the brains or human flesh or whatever. Do they need it?
Yeah.
Like, if they run out, because if they run out and they need more, zombie hunger might drive them to the rural areas. If it doesn't, they're probably just going to wander around an empty city for a long time.
Right. In the I don't know if this is a... I guess it's a book, and I guess what we were hearing was an audiobook, World War Z.
Oh, I have heard a little bit about this, yes.
Yeah, it talks
about... this last night.
Tries to give sort of a realistic picture. This is after the war with the zombies is presumed won, and people are talking about what they did and how it worked. And they talked about going north and how the zombies
freeze.
Oh,
is this the one where they cured cancer and that made zombies?
I don't know. I mean, I didn't listen to the whole thing. My family was listening to it, but they froze up there. But of course, once the thaw came, they were back to life again. So
spring of doom.
but winter is
coming is a good thing.
If we're going to start debating about which type of zombie we're talking about, of course, the original zombie wasn't even really dead. It was just someone.
They were. Werewolves?
No, no, no.
That craved brains.
No, no, no.
Stupid werewolves.
No, no, no. They were.
The Scarecrow from Wizard of Oz.
The lore
was a werewolf.
The lore was that their spirit was taken over by a witch.
Oh, Macumba, yes.
And
serious zombies, yes.
And so it's not so much that they were dead.
They were lost to their free will.
And even if you go from there to say, okay, they're some kind of dead or undead, there was nothing about them that fed on human flesh or anything else. That's a whole, you know, very modern take on zombies. But if you look at it that way, if we're defining zombies as these creatures, mindless creatures that feed on other people.
Which I think the rest of us are.
Metaphorically speaking, we're already living through the zombie apocalypse, if you ask me.
Oh my God, you fucking hippie. Oh my God. And we put on some cranberries first.
In your head. In your head. I just had to say that.
Tree hugger. Okay, that was a very good question, Michelle, but we should move on.
Okay.
Wait, it's my turn.
I think I read Michelle's question.
You did. It's like playing the banjo.
Actually, nothing like playing the banjo.
You've never heard me play the banjo.
Nothing like a normal person playing the banjo. There we go.
Michelle, it is your night.
Wow. Great.
What is the difference? Oh, this is going to be good. This is for you and your hillbilly folk.
Okay.
Except you grew up on a farm. I don't know. We'll see. This should be for you. This is for hillbilly folk. What is the difference between Kraft mac and cheese and Kraft dinner?
There isn't any difference that I know of.
See, this is what I've gotten the sense of recently. I didn't originally think this. I thought, and I think I was mixing it up with other brands, because when I thought Kraft Dinner, I thought like Hamburger Helper or something like that. But it's just Kraft mac and cheese, but you're having it for dinner, basically.
Well, I believe that it's a regional thing. Kraft Dinner is what it's called like in Canada or something. Canada?
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
That's my understanding.
Okay.
I want to say Canada, but here, let's go back to South Park and maybe we can figure this out.
Okay.
Because... What's that little cartoon the kids watch?
Philip and Terrence and Philip.
They call it that.
Well, I think we're on to something there because they're Canadian. And that's
there
a
you
big
go.
Point of it. Now, are the Bare Naked Ladies Canadian?
I don't know. Well, I don't remember.
Because that's the only place I've heard it is If I Had $1 Million. So if I had $1 million, we wouldn't have to eat Kraft Dinner, but we would eat Kraft Dinner. Yeah, we'd just eat more. With lots of... lots of fancy ketchups.
I think
gourmet
it's,
ketchup. Dijon ketchup.
And maybe not all of Canada. Maybe, I don't know, the Toronto area or something. I don't know, but it's a Canadian thing, I think.
So, Michelle, the difference between Kraft mac and cheese and Kraft dinner is whether or not you are a hoser.
That's what I'm thinking.
Kraft mac and cheese or Kraft dinner, eh? That's how you can think about it.
But
really.
look it up and comment on our...
Well, and is it a slang or does the box, I wonder?
No, it's not slang. It's like how in some parts of the country, all soda pop's called Coke.
Yeah, but I'd say that's a slang thing. No, oh, okay. What I mean is the package, if you buy
vernacular.
It in the store, doesn't say...
No.
Kraft dinner.
No.
And are you not allowed to eat it for lunch?
Well, in some parts of the country, dinner is lunch.
Oh, God, we're sitting in one. I have that... I have that issue with my wife. When she feels like it, suddenly it's not lunch and dinner, it's dinner and supper.
I grew up calling lunch dinner and dinner supper. So.
Yeah, and I think she sort of did too, because it frequently ties into her family, but she just gets in these moods where she does it just to piss me off, I think.
And we called soda
most people,
pop, so.
Most seeds, the other we.
Yeah.
On the West Coast.
Oh, yeah. It's pop?
Yes.
Yeah.
East, I think, was soda. But if you're old enough... And in a certain region of New England, it's tonic.
Yeah, that's true, if you're old enough.
Yeah, and then if you go south, it's Coke.
Yep, everything's Coke.
But that's kind of, all that has kind of blown away lately. I think with more air travel and stuff, a lot of those aren't doing as much. I found out that supposedly, I learned in college, supposedly a term I had been using forever was regional vernacular for the Pacific Northwest. You hear that beeping?
Mm-hmm.
That's the
air
conditioner. Yeah. Anyway, you guys probably can't hear it, so shut up. No, there's a term, something expensive, you call it spendy. You ever heard that?
Abby says it all the time.
Where's Abby from?
Well, she's from Iowa.
Okay.
But her family is from lots of different places, mostly northern Iowa, though.
Okay. Because that's the thing. Somebody in Cedar Rapids used it, and I was like, where are you from? And he had grown up around here. And so I think it's spreading now. But somebody had said, apparently, because I used it all the time growing up. But then somebody said, and when I went to college, that's the thing. I went to college, and there was somebody else from Oregon, and they said it, and they said that they had been told it was regional. And I was like, no, it's not. That's ridiculous. And then all of our friends around us are like, I've never heard that term before.
Might have been. I never heard it before she said it. Her family is from Clear Lake, mostly.
Okay.
I mean, her mom and dad were from there. And you have to go back a couple generations, and then everyone's almost pretty much exclusively from New England. So maybe it stuck around. I don't know.
But I mean, I'm talking the other direction.
Oh, okay, yes.
Northwest Oregon.
Sorry, right.
That's New England.
A lot of other things have changed. Like, it used to be that any adhesive bandage was a Band-Aid. I don't know if that's still true.
Yeah, no, that's still true.
And any
Kleenex.
Any facial tissue was Kleenex, and any disposable diaper was Pampers. That was true.
I don't know. Yeah.
That's changed a lot.
That one, and Jell-O.
Yeah.
Jell-O's still a big one.
Jell-O is pretty much still Jell-O for brands.
Yeah. But it gets really weird in the UK because I still haven't quite got what we call jam and what we call jelly. Both of those get called jam over there.
Mm.
And then what we call gelatin, they call jelly.
Mm, yeah.
I don't know what. Yeah, that's everybody. Yeah, that's it.
Well,
so it gets really confusing.
I don't know if this is true outside of Belgium. I just know about Belgium.
You mean those two guys and his dog?
Yeah. But syrup, like pancake syrup, is something completely different over there, I guess.
What is it over there?
It's kind of a pasty thing, I guess. Gert listens, so he'll have to confirm that.
But syrup isn't that... I mean, I think... I hate... And I'm going to look stupid. I think of syrup as a scientific term. Not like pancake syrup, but syrup as an actual scientific term of something having fairly specific qualities.
Viscosity and things.
Yes.
I know.
How can it be pasty?
I don't know. Gert needs... Gert listens.
What the hell is wrong with you and your brother and his dog?
He needs to comment on our...
Really? What are you, French? Oh!
Careful.
See what I did there?
Yeah, I saw what you did. But
by the way, Gert will not stop inviting me to Google Plus. Well, he invited the hat to Google Plus.
Well, accept the invitation.
I don't want to go yet.
Okay.
I'm a late adopter.
But he needs to comment on our, what are we calling it? It's not a forum, it's a
blog.
He needs to comment on that. And anyone who finds out we were wrong about craft dinner should too.
Also, but no Canadians.
Which is at www.
TheMagicalTalkingHat.com. Go there. Talk about things.
And
good.
And correct the things we say that are wrong.
A lot of our hard hats are on there often. Talking about stuff.
That's right. Do we have time for one more?
If we don't spend a lot of time. Or if we go over an hour, because, again, not technically limited.
No.
Oh, it's your turn.
We even started early today.
We did.
So, you know, who knows what we could do. Stew?
Did it finish early?
It's been forever!
We were just making fun of you. I need to contact him.
We weren't talking
about actually Stew. For a different reason.
Okay.
Sorry, I was making fun of the British in my head when I do that. I mean him.
Okay.
Yes.
Dear Hat.
Are you adopting an accent for this? It sounded a little bit like... you do Welsh? Because that would be hilarious.
No, I can't.
Dear Boyos.
Is there any media outlet left that doesn't sensationalize the news to keep bums on seats for adverts? Sincerely, Stu.
By bums, I believe he means asses.
Bottoms.
Yes. Yes, there is one.
No, there isn't.
There is.
You're lying.
Nope, there is.
Okay.
And it's the only one I consume these days.
What is it?
AV Club.
AV Club?
Yes.
Well, I don't even know what that is.
It's a website, avclub.com.
And it doesn't sensationalize the news?
No.
Does it sell ads?
Yes.
Well, then how do
Here's the thing. Here's the bit you're missing.
Okay.
It's only entertainment and media news.
Okay.
It's just movies, books, stuff like that. So there's not a lot to
hard to sensationalize.
Exactly, exactly. And in fact, and here's the other thing. It is the not made up entertainment news wing of the made up newspaper The Onion.
Huh.
It's the same people.
Interesting.
And so it is also fairly hip and self-referential, and most of the stories are full of their own little skewed jokes and quips and stuff like that. And I highly recommend it. I literally look at this site every morning. It's how I know what's coming up with movies and books and stuff like that, and it's where I tend to get a lot of my reviews and things like that. I recommend it to anybody. A as in audio, V as in visual, club, avclub.com is pretty awesome.
Well,
so you should check it out.
I've never seen AV Club, and I don't know of any media outlet that doesn't sensationalize the news.
Oh, my God.
I mean, even NPR sometimes. Which,
oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Which I think even people who hate NPR would have to agree that they're usually a fairly laid-back, kind of boring bunch of people, will still throw out the occasional news story that makes me scratch my head and think, what were they thinking when they did
absolutely.
This?
Okay, now shut up.
Okay.
Because I have a story that's perfect for this.
Okay.
And I forgot about this, but I've been telling the story all over the place. Because I finally witnessed firsthand the horror and ridiculousness and stupidity that is the 24-hour news networks. That I never listen to or watch or anything. But, you know, Jon Stewart's always bitching, basically, about how they have to fill it. And I saw it myself. Because I was in the damn airport when Amy Winehouse died.
Oh, I see, yeah.
And so I saw that on the thing. By the way, rest in peace, Amy Winehouse. Very sad.
Yeah,
she's talented.
Very tragic.
All that stuff. But here's the thing. They spent like 15 minutes on it. And here's what they did. They started off, made sense. Amy Winehouse died, tragic, 27. We don't know why yet. They're like, oh, here's a picture of her body bag being taken out because you need that. A little bit about who she is in case you've been living under a rock. And they say, we don't know why she's dead yet. We probably won't know for like a week till they do an autopsy. But here's a reporter somewhere else. Not the guy who was reporting. A different reporter. No particular qualifications. Just a different person. To come up with some reasons why. Pulled out of their ass. And they did that. Oh, it gets so much worse than this. Trust me.
Oh.
They did this for a while. For a few minutes.
Yeah.
Killing time. And I think they showed the body bag a couple more times.
Right.
And then we cut to Val Kilmer.
Val Kilmer?
Val Kilmer.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Why did we do that?
I don't know. At this point in my mind, I'm like, were they dating?
Were they friends?
Or yeah, this is what I'm wondering.
Huh.
And I'm sitting here, and Val Kilmer's sitting there, and he's explaining basically his theory on tortured substance abusing artists, because he's played several of them, and from that what he sort of learned about things. And the whole time I'm watching, and he talks for a couple minutes.
Was it stock footage or something?
No.
They specifically got him.
This is Amy Winehouse, and he's talking about it, and I'm like, I'm not sure he knows her. And then we cut to other guy. I don't know this guy. They had his name. I've never heard of him. Below his name, it said actor.
Uh-huh.
So, presumably,
okay,
an actor.
Yeah.
And he comes out and says, like, right away, I never had the pleasure of meeting Amy Winehouse, but, and goes on with how sad it is and how he liked her music or whatever for a couple minutes.
That's it?
Well, then we cut back to the second reporter.
Okay.
And she comes back and says, you know, for those of you who don't know, also, Val Kilmer played Jim Morrison in the movie The Doors, who was a 27-year-old artist who died, who had problems.
So and that was the only reason.
That wasn't even. That was lucky, because I have sort of learned since then that apparently this is a thing now. When a celebrity dies, you get other celebrities to comment on it.
Even if they didn't know.
Even if they had nothing to do, yes. You what? Just grab people, like, off the street.
Random?
Apparently. The other guy. I still don't know who the other guy was.
Hmm.
I think they lucked out with Val Kilmer because they could at least pretend. But the other guy went so far as to say out loud that he'd never met the woman.
Hmm.
And this is a, and I found, because others like, hear what celebrities are saying. I'm like, why do I care? I never met her either. Am I qualified for this? It was amazing.
Well, actually, a lot of, you know, news outlets, they will get response from random people on the street. I mean, so you're probably no less qualified than Val Kilmer.
You think?
Well, the opinion of the person on the street is a pretty long-standing news staple. So
Yes.
So that makes more sense, actually, for them to talk to you than to talk to Val Kilmer.
Exactly. What is the average long-standing famous actor feel about this? You know? And here's another one who you may know. It was Alex, I think. I don't know. He seemed kind of young. But,
well, I was not a fan, I can say that, but it was really...
I liked Rehab a couple times.
It's always sad when that kind of thing happens.
Yeah.
I just don't know.
But I just... And here's the thing. When the news channels got the little crawl on the bottom, mm-hmm. I thought that this is what that was for. I thought you get on the air and you say, Amy Winehouse has died. You show a picture because you need the money. And they say, in case you live under a rock, here's who she was or whatever. For 30 seconds, 60 seconds. Mm-hmm. And then you stop and you go on with stuff you know about. Mm-hmm. And if somebody happens to turn on the channel after those 60 seconds and they didn't see the story, they're not going to be like, oh my God, CNN didn't even know Amy Winehouse was dead. Because the crawl at the bottom would repeat stories we already talked about, you know, that kind of shit. But apparently no. Because they still had the crawl, and I didn't pay attention to what it said, because we spend the whole time finding out what Val Kilmer thinks about Amy Winehouse's death.
Yeah, I occasionally when I've been staying in hotels or something, I've been trying to understand this whole 24-hour news thing myself. Understanding what the crawl at the bottom is really supposed to be doing. Usually it's not talking about anything they're talking about. Which is fine, because maybe you're not interested in what they're talking about, but the crawl information is so vague and, you know, whatever, that you don't really get any information from it. So yeah, I don't really understand.
Also,
I didn't get any news out of that.
The reporter, who wasn't the first reporter, but who was the second reporter, her name? Kareen Winter, spelled K-A-R-E-E-N, last name W-Y-N-T-E-R. She went to art school. That goddamn woman was named Karen Winter, spelled with an I, her whole fucking life. And then she got a job in news, and she's like, I'm Kareen Winter. It's like Azure Talon all over again.
It's like an art school disease.
Azure Talon, what do you think of Amy Winehouse's death? Oh my God, there's a spider on the microphone.
There is?
Yeah, is he whispering? Like, can you guys hear a spider saying stuff? Yeah, he's right on the thing here.
Don't see him.
Well, he's right, like, literally, like, he's where the cord comes out.
Oh, okay. Maybe I don't want to see him. I'm not a fan of spiders.
I'm not a fan of spiders. I mean, I am, but not in person.
I suppose I should thank Stu, Michelle, twice.
Is the spider talking to you guys?
Azure Talon and Jen for their contributions.
Hello, I'm a spider, and I'm a fan of the hat, and you should listen more. I listen with all my 8 legs.
How did it get there? I mean, you know, where it's...
God?
Well, where it is, it would have to have...
Crawled out of my ear?
Come down from the ceiling or crawled across...
I don't know. We got a lot of spiders in this house.
Surface that we could see.
Which is good because we got a lot of bugs in this house and it eats them. Yes, thank you to all of those people that I can't be bothered to remember. And if you'd like to write us, write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. See, now it's going down.
Oh, and it uses its web and everything.
And that's how they do it. Well, yeah. And
that's how they roll.
Exactly. Word. If you could make silk shoot out your ass, you'd do it too.
Ew, it's ugly.
Go. That's rude.
It can't hear me.
How do you know
that? It doesn't know. I didn't hurt its feelings.
It looks kind of pissed.
Spiders are ugly, I'm sorry.
Ugh.
I've often said if spiders didn't exist, horror writers would invent them because they're just about the most horrible thing you can imagine.
I can come up with worse.
I don't think
anyway,
so.
Also check out the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com. Take care of yourselves and each other.
and party on, dudes.
Yes, be excellent to each other. It's coming for you.
I don't like that.
Me neither. We should squish it.
Go the other way. Oh, you're going to squish it?
I don't know if I... Oh, yeah, I did.
Did you squish it?
Yes, that live execution, people.
You committed arachnicide right on the air.
I know. I feel a little weird about that now. Anyway, that's it. I'm tired of this. Please, we're pretty much right at hour. Disregard the last hour, and we will see you next week.
Next week.
Who knows what kind of animal we'll kill on the show next week?
None.
Please disregard the previous hour of useless audio. This has been a production of the Magical Talking Ant Podcast. If you would like to contact us, and I don't know why you would, please do so at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. All music is provided courtesy of Jay Underberg. More of his PodSafe audio can be found at podsafeaudio.com/J_Underberg. Thank you.